This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, Americans produce almost 5 pounds of waste per person every day. Producing this much waste daily is unsustainable, but we can help reduce it on an individual basis by making some changes to our routines. Joining us today to guide us through reducing waste in our day-to-day lives is waste and sustainability consultant Luke Diaz from Zero Waste Chicago. Luke, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to know, have you tried reducing your waste on a day-to-day basis? Tell us about it. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Maybe you're doing something as simple as carrying reusable bags or metal straws. Maybe you've upped your game and you're carrying a spork when you go to get food, take out, or out to eat. If you're doing that during the pandemic, 800-222-9455. Maybe you've gone even further. You're composting some of your waste in your yard. What has worked for you? What hasn't worked for you? What questions do you have about the zero waste life? 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Of course, you can also always tweet us at 21st Show. So, Luke, what does zero waste mean to you?
Well, zero waste is it's a dynamic thing. You want to reduce as much waste that you're producing as possible. There's a few definitions floating around if you look them up. I like to think of it as just doing your best. I think reducing your waste to almost nothing or to nothing is a pretty lofty goal. But 98% waste dispersion is possible, and if you're taking the right steps.
So how did you first hear about this zero waste lifestyle?
Sure, I mean, it's this kind of ideology of reducing the amount of waste you're producing has been around for a while now. I think the zero waste, I don't want to say kind of extreme or a goal, is newer, and you've seen it kind of floating around social media. You've seen folks who are going, taking all the steps to meet these goals have been vocal, luckily. So I came across it through there, and then I found Zero Waste Chicago while I was living in Chicago. Just going from there, it's a pretty, once you've learned more about the goals and the steps that you can take to reach those goals, it's something you want to adopt.
Can you give us a sort of a visual sense? What does this look like in your daily life that you are trying to reduce as much waste as possible compared to, I'm sure you know people who are not pursuing this as a goal. Like how does what your daily life looks like compared to theirs? How does that differ?
Sure. I guess I would just really boil it down to it's a decision-making ideology, right? I'd encourage most people to go and look up a zero waste hierarchy. You'll see the largest section is rethinking and redesigning. So a while back, I had to go and kind of consciously think about, what behavior am I participating in that is creating waste? What choices do I make where I'm intaking waste? The easiest way to reduce the amount of waste you're producing is to reduce the amount of waste you're intaking. So, just thinking about where I'm buying my groceries. For example, I go to a butcher where they wrap stuff in paper instead of the grocery store where it comes in that styrofoam with the plastic wrap on top of it. I don't buy plastic bottled drinks. I choose to just drink water of a reusable bottle. And I choose aluminum cans if I want a treat. So, those kind of conscious decisions where I'm choosing things that are either more readily recyclable or things that won't need a complicated recycling plan or things that can be composted. So from redesigning kind of your decisions.
Yeah, no, that hierarchy, that pyramid is a helpful framework. Let's take go to the phones now. 800-222-9455 is the number. David is on the line from Rockford. David, thanks for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I understand you have been pursuing at least one aspect of zero waste. Tell us about your paper towel situation.
Well, yeah, aside from, like you're mentioning, using a reusable water bottle, or we've been using reusable plastic bags for lunch stuff that we just rinse. But yeah, I found it interesting. And to your point, we've been using a reusable paper towel that has replaced our paper towel in the kitchen, or, you know, in the house. And it's lasted us since the beginning of January on this same roll. And, you know, my recommendation for it is before you go to clean up a mess, you just rinse it and squeeze it out, and then it becomes more porous and it will accept liquids. So that's my only tip for it. But look up reusable paper towel. You can find them on the internet. And like I said, you know, we probably would have gone through packs of paper roll or paper towel since January, and we're still in the same roll. So I thought that spoke to your point, the easy thing we could do. Also, I have a 1.5-year-old, so messes are prevalent at my house.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, especially with babies. Sure. There is a lot of waste. Thank you so much for calling in, David, and sharing that about the paper towels. Luke, I wonder what your perspective is on that. I guess that's somewhere in between. You know, one of our producers is actually, you know, using old clothes that they've sort of cut up and wash and just try to use that instead of any sort of reusable product. This is a sort of a middle step. Luke, I wonder if this is something that sounds familiar to you.
Sure. Yeah. If you go to our site, zerowastechicago.com, we have a store where we have all kinds of items like this. I think if you're going to embark on this, embark on these goals, making an investment in products like that are a great step. We have kind of those, I think we call them unpaper towels, kind of Swedish dishcloths. Things like that are great messy mess cleaners that don't produce any waste. So. And there's compostable options as well.
I was going to ask, are normal paper towels are not, are they compostable or are they not? Like if you just get them at, you know, whatever brand X at the supermarket.
Generally, no, because the chemicals in them that are used when producing them, it screws with the composting organic situation that's required. So generally, your paper towels are not compostable.
Okay, let me reintroduce you. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about zero waste living. My guest is Luke Diaz, who's a waste and sustainability consultant at Zero Waste Chicago, which is a consultancy helps individuals and businesses try to move toward that zero waste living. You know, Luke, we got a text message. We had a recycling segment a couple of weeks ago. Ryan in Champaign sent us a message at that time. He said, a true zero waste lifestyle does not seem currently attainable in America. As far as I know, most grocery stores do not provide options for refilling reusable containers, and almost all items come prepackaged. I wonder, you mentioned you go to a butcher that uses paper instead of those little styrofoam trays. What are your thoughts on that message, though? There are certainly, and you're maybe in Chicago where you have more options than people in smaller towns might have. You know, about on the people who say it's really hard to do zero waste in America.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely really tricky. I am lucky to have options here in Chicago. But I'd say, you know, take a look around. Sometimes, like, your small towns will have kind of a butcher shop, local butcher shop. I'm from a small town in Wisconsin, and I know we got on the main street, we got a small butcher there, another small grocer. You know, those things are becoming fewer and further between, but if you can find them, there's still some still sitting there, and supporting them would be great too.
So this zero waste lifestyle, it's more than just going out and, you know, like we said, purchasing plastic-free alternatives, reusable water bottles and straws. There's also this element of upcycling, where people, you know, take what they own and extend the life of their products. Can you talk about that? Are there some practical ideas you might have for people?
Sure. If you want to learn more about the, kind of this ideology, you want to look up the circular economy. You know, once an item is in circulation, you want to keep it there for as long as you can. Before it is expended. So upcycling is a great opportunity, especially for folks who, you know, like thrifting. I think I've seen it most commonly used with like old clothing or upcycling old furniture. So yeah, anything you can do to keep something from going to the landfill, if you can make it, if you could, especially if it only takes labor to fix it up instead of, you know, putting resins or plastic tooling to fix it. If it's just labor to upcycle, that's a great option to keep things in circulation like that.
I wonder, have you seen, I'm sure you've seen these, when you think of the zero waste movement, you think of these people on Instagram or wherever, TikTok, where they have, you know, they show a year's worth of their waste and it fits in like a mason jar. I wonder, what do you make of that practice?
I'd say it's pretty incredible. I think folks who can do that are, they're really committed. And they, I think what that really boils down to is kind of premeditation, really researching exactly what you need to do, where you can, where you'll have access to resources that will allow you to do that, and then executing and committing to that. So, yeah, I think it's, I think it is achievable. I believe that folks have been able to do that. But you know, it does take quite a bit of research and a commitment to a lifestyle.
Have you ever stored your waste in a jar?
No, but I have, done a waste assessment on myself. You know, just to get a great, a good idea of what behaviors and how much waste I'm producing. I'd say if you really do want to embark on this journey, or, you know, you or your, if you want to, if your office wants to embark on this journey, a waste assessment is a great place to start, just to understand really, how much waste you're producing and why.
You know, we, in my personal household, we do a lot of recycling, and I know it's a separate conversation as to how much of that recycling actually gets recycled versus ending up in a landfill. But, you know, we have way more recycling that goes out in our trash than actual trash in the trash can, the separate can. I wonder, what does that look like for you or for somebody who is, you know, maybe not the full mason jar zero waste, but, you know, do you have one bag of trash a week, two? How does that work in your life? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I still put on my trash on the regular days, but yeah, definitely more recycling. I've been trying more now to just not produce anything. You know, I've been shopping in bulk. There's some good options in Chicago to just bring your own canisters and go bulk shopping. You know, with the way things are, people are still cagey about letting you use reusable totes and things like that, but there's still options now. There's more options as we progress here, but yeah, I think it's tough to say exactly how much I produce on a given week, but it's always getting smaller.
Yeah. So I think maybe some people might hear this and think, well, okay, the mason jar, that's maybe a little farther than I want to go. But it sounds like I'm hearing from you, there are more simple steps people can take. And maybe we can just do sort of a lightning round on some quick tips. You mentioned plastic versus aluminum. Can you talk about that? Why is aluminum preferable to plastic if somebody does want to buy a soft drink, for example?
Sure. I always choose aluminum just because it's infinitely recyclable. There is, you know, there's still some plastic involved in those because they coat the insides. But I think the way, from what I understand, they are able to recycle it at a much better rate than plastic. And then when plastic is recycled, it can only be recycled one or two times until it's at a point where it's either unusable or it's kind of the quality of it is degraded. So then there's also the case of like, well, is the plastic contaminated? Is it actually going to get recycled? So I just generally stay away from it. You don't have a good track record there.
Okay. And I think we only have about 3 minutes left in our conversation, but I think we can get in one more caller. Rick is on the line from Princeton. Rick, thanks for calling in.
Hey, I'm calling from Princeton. And I'm wondering, we're trying to get businesses interested in eliminating plastic bags, particularly grocery stores. And last time I went to a grocery store, I didn't buy that much, and I had 12 different plastic bags. And I'm wondering if I can get some tips. We bought a whole bunch of them for a pickup day here. We picked up all the junk along the roads around Princeton and then built something like an Earth Mandela, if you know what that is, from organic waste. But how do we make it easier for businesses to stop using styrofoam to pack foods and stop using single-use plastic bags and bottles?
All right. Thank you for the question, Rick. I wonder, Luke, if you have a perspective that's more of a, I guess, the systemic issue, right? Convincing businesses to adopt these practices.
Well, that's kind of, it, it speaks to something that's really important, is that when you're thinking about zero waste and you're thinking about your own waste production, you know, you're really using your power as a consumer to change the way demand is, right? So making these choices and saying, oh, I don't want a plastic bag, you guys should have such and such option, or going to a takeout place and saying, well, I don't want to eat here if you guys are going to give me a styrofoam clamshell. That speaks to business owners. And so making those decisions and sticking to them, that's the most important part. You got to commit to it, really can shift that demand, and we'll see change over time. Like we have.
Yeah. Oh man, you're making me think. I don't know if I could convince my favorite local Asian restaurant to move away from the styrofoam clamshells, nor do I know if I'm committed enough to give it up if they don't.
Well, we're lucky that, you know, there are more and more alternatives entering the market now. Sure. It is kind of it's an issue of scale. We've gotten really good at making styrofoam clamshells, but over time we're getting better at making compostable options or biodegradable options. It's just a matter of convincing those businesses to switch.
All right. And committing ourselves, I guess. Luke Diaz is a waste and sustainability consultant at Zero Waste Chicago. Luke, thanks so much for coming on the show. Happy Earth Day to you. This was a great conversation. I appreciate it.
All right. Happy Earth Day. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit more of a philosophical conversation to end our Earth Day program today about Zen in the art of spring, and the way that some of the arts and traditions of Zen Buddhism, Japanese culture, can help us transition into spring. That conversation is coming up after a short break. You are listening to The 21st, and while we have another moment, I want to suggest you go to our website, 21stshow.org. There you can subscribe to our podcast. If you ever missed any of our previous segments this week, it's a great way to keep up with what we're talking about on the show. You can find links. We're on Apple, Spotify, NPR One. You can find links to all that at our website, 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.